Hello and welcome to the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. My name is Christian, I'm your host, and today we're going to talk about the 10 steps it takes to become a culinary entrepreneur. Hello again, I'm Christian, your host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. And over the last few months, we got a lot of requests on what does it actually take to become a culinary entrepreneur. Before we start with that, we need to talk about what is a culinary entrepreneur. So we define a culinary entrepreneur, anybody who's starting a side hustle or business in our beautiful hospitality industry. And for me, I call myself a culinary entrepreneur because that's how I started. I'm a classically trained chef. I own some restaurants and been in the food industry all my life. So for me, this was one of the things I started back in 2011 to try to find a way to serve the community and serve our industry beyond what I did as a chef. So I have some notes here. There's 10 steps I broke it down to, and I will share those steps with you now, and then I will also give you what I did around those steps. So let's get started. For the first thing is, you need to research the market. So for me, this is really, really important that you understand what is the landscapes, what is the trends, what's currently going on, what are some of the potential gaps you could fill with your service or with your product. Also understand what are some of the consumer preferences in our industry. And that goes from being a restaurateur, having a food truck, or being a personal chef, or being a catering chef, or be a food consultant, be a food stylist, anything in that realm, you need to do some market research. And what I did to start mine is I did a survey. I started emailing all my friends, hey, what keeps you up at night? What do you think the industry needs? How can I serve the industry? They gave me some feedback. Then I read industry reports. I went to local events. I went to online events. I went to e-commerce. And for me, that all gave me a pretty good idea of what I wanted to do. So step number one, and I have my little slogan here. It's about progress and not perfection. So start something, because what you will start most likely will not be the thing you wind up doing. So start something. Step number two. Make sure whatever you decide from step one is something you have knowledge about. Do you need to take maybe some additional training? Do you need some business coaching? Do you need to have some other, not just skills, but you know, resources you need? Do I need to farm something out, or do you need to partner with something? So step number two, make sure you have the proper culinary and business knowledge for anything you want to do. So for me, I wanted to educate myself more around, hey, how does financing really work? And how can I build something which I can start with very little financial investment, something I can start as a side hustle? Also for me, marketing was one of them. So for me, I started educating myself around marketing. And then you can do this by going to events, and I did both. I went to industry events, and then also I signed up for online programs. I did some self-study courses just to educate myself around what you need. So step number two, really, really important. Make sure you acquire the necessary skills from a business side, culinary side, what you need to do for your program. Number three, develop a really cool concept. Find out what is your niche, what matches your passion with what the market needs. In our program, we host a mastermind class. There we have a really cool exercise. We kind of take you through it, which kind of helps you define your niche, because it's really easy to market towards your niche when you really, really clear of what it is. And for me, that was a huge learning curve. For the last few years, we were all over the place with marketing until we became really clear how we want to serve and how does it work with our skills and the things we're really good at, not just the things we're good at, things which come natural to me. And then we kind of overlaid what the business or the market needs. And from there, it's really easy to market. And I think our message is a lot clearer now. And this podcast came out of that. So I want you to do is, I call it the 3x3. I want you to write down three niches or business ideas that appeal to you. Then I want you to write down three things you feel your passion and your skills can serve. And then I want you to reach out to three of your friends. And that doesn't work with a spouse or a relative. It needs the three friends. And you need to ask them, why are we friends? They will probably say something like this. I did this exercise. My first friend, his name is Jason. He said to me, Christian, you're the only Austrian guy, and I want to be a diverse guy, so I don't know any other Austrians. I said, seriously, why are we friends? And the second time he says, because you like make me laugh. I said, why are we friends? And we did this a few times. And then he said, every time when I'm in the gutter and I need somebody to build me up and to support me emotionally and somebody I can trust, give me some honest feedback, I call you. And I want you to do the same, because I did it with three individuals and it was super, super humbling for me to do that. And I want you to do the same. Write down three unique business ideas, three ideas where your passion can meet what the market needs, and then call three of your friends. You will see it will change your life. Number four, you need a business plan. And for me, having a business plan is the foundation of everything. You want to make sure that you outline what the vision is of what you want to build. What else do I need to include? Do I need people? Do I need a building? Do I need some financing? Do I need some marketing? Get really clear. And if you comment below on the comments, let us know. We're more than happy. We have a one pager. For me, I try to do everything in one page, just make it really simple. But we have a one pager, one page business plan. We can send you a copy of and you can fill it out. It's really, really easy. So number four, make sure you have a business plan. Number five, create a brand. And with that is where us creatives like to spend a lot of time on, because when we in that flow, it's easy to create the website, to create the logo and everything else, but make sure the logo and your slogan matches what you want to do. Also make it memorable. And then it's easy to build a strong online presence around it. And for me, I hired a graphic designer because for me, I could go down a rabbit hole in creating my own logos and spend 5 days around it. Or you hire somebody the way I did. I actually hired somebody on Fiverr very inexpensively, helped me get really clear of what I wanted. I shipped him some of the ideas I had, and he came back and said they were terrible because it doesn't show who your brand is. And so our logo and everything, we created for that. So number five is create a strong brand. Number six, make sure you have somebody in your pocket who understands the legal and regulatory requirements within the industry. Make sure you get the proper license, the permits, the health inspections, whatever you need. I would encourage you to consult with a business attorney or even with somebody who has an understanding around what the licensing and the regulatory items are in your state. They change from state to state. So I encourage you to get somebody. What I did, I went to a local business lawyer and I said, hey, I'm starting a local business. This is what I want to do. I need some legal representation. If you cut me a deal, I will use you on a retainer. And I said, let's start out with a 2-year retainer. And he gave me a deal. And now we're in our year number 9 in our 2-year retainer. Every time I need something, I email him. He says, hey, send me this money and I stop by and I drop it off. But he's a really good resource to have. And for me, the reason I put myself into a 2-year agreement with somebody, because being in a 2-year agreement required me to be consistent. And it also helped me because he had a better understanding who I was and what I wanted to do. You know how it goes. The first time if you go somewhere with the first 15-minute conversation, they have an idea of where you want to go. But meeting with somebody for 2 years or 9 years, he knows exactly what are my non-negotiables, what is important to me and my family, how do I want to run the business, and how do I want to kind of put myself out in the marketplace. And he backs me up. I'm telling you, best money you will spend. Make sure you get yourself somebody who understands that. Number seven, I wrote down here funding. And funding can go a few different ways. For me, I'm a big fan of self-funding. Wherever you can, self-fund. For me, I started this as a side hustle back in 2011. And I designated $100 a month. That was my thing at the time, $100 a month. And I wanted to support it with 3 to 5 hours a week. So my work plus my investment. And today, it doesn't cost you anything to start an online business. Or if you want to become a good friend of mine, we just helped to create a personal chef business. It was really easy for him because it's inexpensive to put a website out there and put your product out there. It took more effort and money to take the pictures for all his food photography than it is to create a site. But if you need to, try to explore some business loans. Maybe get an investor or even do crowdfunding. I personally have not done that, but if you do any of that, you need to prepare a pitch or something which helps you go and get your information and your stuff out there for somebody to give you a possible lending. And by the way, if you need funding, make sure you have a business plan, because without that, they're not going to do anything. So really, really important. Number 8 for me, I wrote down location. And location is important. So for me, I always use me as an example. I started out in one of our spare bedrooms. And then from there, the bedroom became too small and I kind of spilled over a little bit into the dining room. And there was a time where my wife said, "Where's my dining room?" Because my stuff was just everywhere. And she kicked me out and I came into this office and we're here now just a few years. So it's great. So location, location, location. So now when you start a restaurant, location is important. And more than anything in a restaurant is accessible parking. Really, really important for your employees and for your guests. And then if you do a food truck, same again. How are you going to do the licensing? Where am I going to park this thing? Where do I have agreements? Who can I partner with? So location, location, location. If you have a business plan, it's easy to kind of follow through that. But make sure you do your research and make sure your design, the brand, the how you want to execute on the workflow all fits in within your space. For me, again, I started out really small in my office. I'm sorry, in my house. And then kind of worked myself into the dining room. Then I rented a commercial space. And then I came here in this house. And actually, I kind of like working out of the house. We turned the kitchen into our team's breakfast though, and lunch place. Our dining room, or what used to be the dining room, is now our boardroom. The living room is where my team works. I'm in one of the bedrooms. We have another area in the back where people can relax, watch TV, and it's also a workspace if they want to be comfortable. And then we left some bedrooms, and we have 2 bedrooms and a full bath. So if we have guests over, we can also host some guests. So for me, that worked really, really well. And then step number 9 is marketing. And for me, marketing, I needed to learn. And for me, marketing changes so often. It changes all the time between online marketing, in-person marketing. So I hired somebody and I partnered with somebody and they became a 5% partner in my business. So marketing for me, you know, there's digital marketing, local advertising marketing, there's community engagement, there's customer attraction, there's client attraction, all of those different things. Make sure you get yourself somebody, because again, marketing is just like a logo design. It could take you a really long time to make very little progress. So hire yourself somebody who believes in you and can get that done. And again, for me, my thing was I hired somebody. He was a chef by trade. And he had a marketing firm on the side. He knew exactly where he wanted to go. He did an amazing job. And then eventually I hired my own person. So we have now a few people working in the office with me. But again, we started out really, really small. I couldn't afford to pay him. So I offered him a piece of my business for a certain period of time. So worked really, really well. And then plan number 10, or step number 10 for me, is how can I grow? How can I scale? Because if I need to work here all the time in order to have income come in, I just got myself a job at another business. So how can I grow and scale so I can take a half day off, go for the weekend somewhere without have to worrying about it, that my business falls apart or I have no money coming in? So number 10 is really, really important, because you need to establish your business and make sure it's stable and it's actual business and not a glorified job. Because as I started out, I got myself a glorified job. I went to a business coach and I went to one of my mentors and he said, Christian, you have all these great things going on, but if you don't work, you have no money coming in. So how are you going to make residual income? Very, very good question. So for me, number 10, plan around growth and how you can scale whatever you design. And I would add actually one extra level. How can I have meaningful partnerships? For me, I partner with people from all over the world via podcasts, via newsletters, via support, via financial partnerships. So it works really, really well if you have something which works, not just works, which gives you consistent income. And then it's easy for you to kind of make that business from being the guy running it to being the guy managing it. For me, two distinct differences. I don't want to have a glorified job. I want to have a business which runs if I work or not, because then I can focus on something else and then it's easy to grow and to scale. And for me, I wrote down here in my notes that I had that 1 year business plan I had. And in addition to that, I had that 1 year business goal. We needed to get to this in order for me to be able to scale. And then I looked at, and we looked at our financials where we said, hey, every 350,000 we grow, we can hire an employee. And as we did this, it gave us a really good indication. So each employee needed to kind of bring back 350 grand in order for us to hire them. And that's how we scaled our business. And we started out with consultants, then we hired part-time employees, and now we have a full team. And we still have people which work remotely, and we also have some part-time people. But really, really important, make sure you have a plan on how you want to grow. And what is your strategy for growth? And mine was, I didn't want to have more places. I want to have a broader reach. And for me, I tapped into other people's audiences. That worked for me. Again, for you, be really clear where you want to go and how do you want to scale. And in my opinion, those are the 10 steps you will need to take in order to start your own culinary business or hospitality business or become a culinary entrepreneur. Let me recap quick. Number one, you got to do your research. Make sure that you have a good idea of what the industry needs and what is a gap and how you can fill that gap. Number two, make sure you have the proper skills to execute on those gaps. What are some of the new things I need to learn? Who do I need to partner with, or do I need to hire somebody? Number three, make sure you have a great offer, or in my thing, I call it here, a great business concept. Number four, business plan, business plan, business plan. Be really out clear, outline it simple, one pager, update it as needed. That needs to become a living, breathing document. Number five is you need to establish your brand, because then it's easy for you to do everything else. Then when you have that in place, you need to make sure that from a legal side, you are protected and you have all the licensing and everything you need to get it done. Then it's time to make sure you can scale. If you need funding, or if you want to designate more time, like I did, I started out 3 to 5 hours a week. And then I said, hey, I want to do 10 hours a week. And that's how we scaled. And I never got any outside funding. I did it all self-funded with a lot of sweat and equity. And then number eight from there, make sure you have the proper location, whatever you need to do. If you do what I do, you need a proper space. And for me, working out of the house was great, but the dogs were barking, the kids came in. So being in an office makes a lot more sense. And then we need to market your package. So whatever you want to have put together, we need to find a way to put it out on the marketplace, because the days where you feel I build it, people will come. I don't think it is. You don't want to be the best kept secret in the industry. Make sure you have great marketing and get your brand out there. And we found that a podcast works really well. And we got a lot more reach. And for me, I never wanted to do the podcast. I don't like the way I sound. I don't like the look. But for me, it's a great medium to get my information out there. And then number 10 is you make sure you have a plan for strategic growth and how to scale it and how to have some meaningful partnership. Hopefully that was helpful for you. If you want to start your own business, that's what I did and it worked for me. And we teaching our clients this very same concept and it works for them as well. So if you haven't done so, please make sure you like this episode or share it with a friend who you feel can benefit from it for you, or save it and download it so you can listen to it again and again, because those 10 steps are always the same. It doesn't matter which side you take. If you do personal chefing, create a catering business, or do something else, the 10 steps stay the same. So with that, I want to say thank you for being here today. I always enjoy connecting with you guys. Ask some questions. Let me know what you need. Also, make sure you get to our private community, which is the disruptivechef.club, which is our private community. You get a front row seat when we do these things. When we have events, you will get automatically invited to those events. Or if you feel like you need more support, please come. I invite you to join our mastermind group. It's an amazing group of individuals which just expect a lot more for themselves and for their business. So with that, thank you for being here today. If you found it valuable, let us know. Give us comments. We read every single one of them. But I'm really humbled that you are listening to this, and I'm really grateful for that. Hopefully, there was some value today. With that, I want to say thanks for being here today. I'm Christian, your host. I'm signing off. Make sure you are the chef who sets the world on fire. And if you can, go out there and keep disrupting.